be continuing in the sermon series today that's from 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three things will remain or will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Last week we looked at faith. Let's do a quick review. It is through faith that we go to God and we begin to form that initial relationship through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. This is what faith is. Faith is God's divine presence or persuasion working in your life. It's not you. If you can do it, that is not faith. The more we use our faith, the more the Lord is going to birth faith deep within us. And the title of today's message is The Hope We Are Called To. I want to ask you a question. What is your hope placed in today, or what do you have confidence in? The writer from Psalms says this: some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we hope or trust in the Lord our God. I'll tell you one thing, if you put your hope and your trust in the Lord your God, it doesn't matter if your car breaks down. They might have trusted in chariots and horses, but we trust in our cars today, I'll tell you that. Your car breaks down, seems like all hope is gone there for a few minutes until you get the AAA card out and the phone out. Each and every day of our life, each and every day of my life, I need peace. I need the peace of Jesus Christ, because at a moment's notice, life can change. And I think we've all found that out. But you know what? The good news for Christians is, as Christians, we can lose everything and still have everything. Think about that. As Christians, we can lose everything and still have everything if we have that faith inside of us and the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. The psalmist, I don't know if he was exaggerating or just expressing the great hope and faith he had in God, but he said this: when earthquakes come and when mountains crumble into the sea, when the oceans roar and foam and the mountains tremble and the waters surge, I will not be afraid, because God is my refuge. That says something, doesn't it? I'll tell you, if I saw a mountain crumble in front of me, I'd take note of that. Without hope, life can seem empty. Life can seem like you're living one day at a time. Perhaps you're living in despair. And all too often when we begin to live in despair, we turn to coping mechanisms in our life to help us get through. And you guys know what coping mechanisms are. I don't need to tell you. I don't need to explain that. They're rampant today in society, absolutely rampant. And perhaps you're here today and you feel like you've lost all hope. Well, I want to tell you, you've come to the right place. And it's my prayer before you leave this place that the hope and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ comes alive deep inside of you. I want to read this morning's passage. It's found in Ephesians 1, and I'll begin at verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you are called to, the riches of his glorious inheritance, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rules and authority and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Pray with me. God, I ask now through the Holy Spirit that you'd begin to work in our lives, touch our lives. Fill us, Lord God, with hope. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Key verse today. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you'll know the hope to which he has called you to. In the New Living Translation, it says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope. I think you're beginning to realize that hope is not something that really is displayed on the outer image. You can be dressed perfectly. You can live in the greatest home and drive the nicest car and have the most money in the bank. But if you don't have hope and faith deep within you, you're very, very much without help today. Why is hope included as one of the three things that will last forever or that will remain? Well, the first reason is as long as you have hope, you have an expectation for the future. You don't ever want to not have an expectation for the future because then things very, very quickly start to go downhill. God knows that we need hope to go through this life. We really do need hope to go through this life. I think if you just sit down and watch the news, many times you can be despondent and plunge deep into despair because of just what happens on the nightly news or the Cleveland news. Hope is alive and hope is real. And hope is like a well deep inside of you. And it doesn't matter what situation you're facing, hope will begin to spring up. And there's a story I'm going to share with you a little later in the message, and you'll see how hope comes alive. When we don't have hope in our life, the Bible says that hope that doesn't come or hope that is deferred makes your heart sick. Has your heart ever been sick from lack of hope? I know mine has. Without hope, people become reckless. People become often plunging their lives into tragedy and into danger. Without hope, people just give up on life. You know, it's kind of funny. We might live our whole life, and then when we enter or we start to get a little bit older, we don't trust God like we used to because we start getting, our body changes. And we have hope as long as our bodies are strong, we're strong men and women. Here's a scripture for you. It says in Isaiah 46:4, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white. With age, I made you, I care for you, I will carry you, I will bear you, and I will save you. Isaiah 46:4. Man, that's a scripture that you want to carry with you from the minute you can walk to the minute you breathe your last breath. I want to define hope for you because a lot of times we use hope in the wrong context. I hope I win the lottery. I hope I get a new job. I hope the message is short today. I know how you are. I've been listening. But from Merriam-Webster, it defines hope like this, a desire or an expectation for something to happen. But when you go back to the Greek word is elpis, and it doesn't define it as a hope or an expectation for something to happen. It's an expectation of what is sure and certain. Sure and certain. A working definition of that would be someone that one confides or to which one would flee for refuge. A God that someone confides in, a Savior that someone confides in, the Lord Jesus Christ that someone confides into or runs to for refuge. In the Old Testament, they used to have these cities of refuge that people would run to. If they committed involuntary manslaughter, they could run to these cities of refuge and they were protected. And that's how the Lord Jesus Christ is with you and I today. He is that city of refuge that we can run to for protection. Christ is a living hope today. Isaiah 40 displays it like this. Those who hope in the Lord will have their strength renewed. They will run and not grow weary. And I need that. I need that in the Lord Jesus Christ, because sometimes as a pastor, I grow weary. And sometimes as a pastor, I don't keep my eyes as close on the Lord Jesus Christ as I need to, because you get caught up in the busyness of life. And I have to pull myself back to why I'm a pastor, why Jesus Christ called me. I want you to remember this one thing about hope before I share this story. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Because why would we hope for it if we already have it? I read a story about a young couple, and their name is Jay and Catherine Wolf. And they're from the southern part of the United States, and they met in college. She was like a beauty queen. I think Catherine went on to be in the Miss Alabama contest. Jay and Catherine graduated from college, and they had a wedding early fall, and then they moved out to California. Jay, so he could start law school, and Catherine, so she could get into acting and modeling. And their life was very, very good. And during the first 3-4 years of marriage, they had a little boy. And it was about 3 weeks before Jay was going to graduate from law school. He was at the end of that journey. And their little son was 6 months old. And he came home for lunch. And Catherine had told him earlier, she says, you know, Jay, I think I might be pregnant again. Was an expectation. The first one was an expectation they didn't plan for, and the second one now was probably going to be an expectation from listening to her speak that they didn't plan for. But anyway, she says, I think I'm pregnant. She had told him that earlier, but when he came home for lunch, she said, you know what? I'm not pregnant. So I don't know, you know, whether he was relieved or not relieved, but I know she wanted a very big family. She loved kids. They both did. But one point I left out, during their wedding ceremony, the message that the pastor preached on, or the little sermonette that we give, was on building a foundation, a solid foundation for marriage, which in and of itself is a good marriage. You need a foundation in your life for marriage. You need a foundation. If you met a builder who was going to build your land on a sinkhole, you would probably question him. But anyways, and another thing, Jay's dad told him, he said, Jay, when you two get out there to California, you need to get involved in a church right away. And Jay and Catherine did. For the past 3-4 years, they were active in the church. Not only were they active in the church, the pastor let them at age 23 teach the young married couples class. What did they know about marriage? They had just got out there. But they had done that for 3-4 years. They were grounded. They were solid Christians. And they were so grateful that they had. Well, during that lunch, when Jay was at home, Catherine started to walk, and all of a sudden her arms and her legs gave gave out and Jay rushed to her and called 911 and she was taken to the hospital. And this young woman of 26 with a six-month-old had had a stem of the brain stroke, I believe, an aneurysm. It was the worst possible stroke this young woman could have had. And when they got to the hospital and they took her to UCLA, so she was under very good medical care. But at the hospital, the doctors more or less didn't encourage surgery. But the family wanted her to have surgery. They told the doctor, you know, she's 26. She has a little six-month-old baby. They'd only been married 3 or 4 years. And so they did the surgery, and the surgery that was supposed to be 8 hours turned into 12 hours, turned into 16 hours. And the doctor came out and he told Jay, he says, don't expect too much. She's probably going to be in a state of vegetation, a vegetable, because of the severity of the stroke. And he says, right then and there, when that doctor said that, I felt hope spring up inside of me and come alive. And I knew that wasn't true. I knew, because of this hope, that everything would be okay. So the doctor told him he could go in and see Catherine, and he walked in to see Catherine, and he crumbled on the floor. He was not prepared for what he saw. This one young woman stayed in a coma for 4 months. And when she did start to wake up, she started to move her fingers. She couldn't talk. She couldn't walk. She couldn't eat. She couldn't do anything at 26 years old. But as the months passed, very, very gradually, she started to regain a little bit. I mean, this isn't one of those faith stories or hope stories where, you know, she's running 5Ks now or running marathons. Today, Catherine and Jay have a ministry, and their ministry is entitled Hope Heals, because Jesus Christ birthed hope deep down inside of them, not to show them that he could raise Catherine up and heal Catherine, but to prepare them to be used by him. Today, Jay's not practicing law. He and his wife have that ministry. And Catherine is still in a wheelchair. Catherine's face is slightly deformed because how a stroke will leave you. She can't walk that well. She has started eating, and she can talk because she does public speaking. So whatever you're facing today, don't think that God has left you or abandoned you because you don't think the situation turns out like you want it to turn out. Hope will come. Hope will well up inside of you. I want to give you a few reasons of things that kind of destroy or set us back in our hope. And the first reason is, and I took this from Jay and Catherine's testimony, is that we don't have a foundation. They said if they would not have had that foundation of being part of that church out in Los Angeles or in Southern California, that they would not have gotten through this situation like they did. And the Bible gives a wonderful illustration, and it says, when you build a house, you want to build your house on a solid foundation. Remember, I gave the little joke of building it on a sinkhole. And the illustration in the Bible goes on. It says you don't want to build your house on sand because one day something is going to happen in your life. And when that happens, when that devastation comes, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to be swept away because your house is on sand, or you're going to remain strong because you have a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what happens around you or about you as long as you have that faith and hope in Jesus Christ. It really does not. But you have to have it. Watch your foundation. Secure your foundation. If your foundation today is not built on Christ, get it built before you leave here. The next reason is that we allow ourselves to be carried away. And what we allow ourselves to be carried away into is sin. There's sins in our lives that we just choose not to deal with because, frankly, we like them. Or, frankly, it might be an addiction that we can't control. And I'm not talking, you know, everyone who has an addiction, it's sin. You know what I mean? If you're like drinking Diet Coke, you know, things like that. Some things are health concerns. But you know what I'm talking about. We allow ourselves. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us saying, you need to stop that before it's too late. How many times have you told your kids, you need to stop doing that. You need to be careful. You cannot do that. Sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't. And oftentimes tragedy occurs. It's no different in our life. It was no different in the Israelites' life. They allowed themselves to be carried away into sin because they wanted their own way. And as people, that's how we are. We want God to give us eternal life, but we don't listen to that day-to-day advice. So the Israelites were carried away for 70 years. They lived in Babylon. They worked for the Babylonian people. They built houses for the Babylonian people. They had nothing. And that's what sin does to us. It tears us down. It takes our money. It takes our time. It destroys our families until we're left with nothing. And you know that one verse that everybody loves, Jeremiah 29:11? That's where that verse comes from. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. God is gracious. God brought them back and he gave them hope. And the last illustration is that we, frankly, shipwreck our faith. We shipwreck our faith because we don't listen. There's an illustration in the Bible that in Acts 27 that has the Apostle Paul. He's getting ready to be transported over to Rome to be tried as a prisoner. He's really at the end of his life. And they set out sailing, and the Lord speaks to Paul, and he tells Paul that they need to be careful and they need to stop sailing and they need to stay in this one port for the winter. And Paul tells them that, and they choose not to listen. And so what happens is for 3 days and three nights, they enter this terrible, terrible storm. And everybody on the ship loses hope. It says that in the passage. The passage says all hope was lost. They lost their cargo. they lost everything. But then Paul told them, said, listen, you should have listened to me in the very beginning, but you're not going to lose your life, but you will lose everything else. And they did. They lost every single thing, but their lives were spared, and they were put on an island. That's what happens to us. We shipwreck our faith simply because we don't listen. As a church, as Christians, we hold deep within us this gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to learn to share the hope with the world. Let me pray for you. Most gracious and holy God, I ask you just to work deep inside of us, and if faith has been and hope has been destroyed because of one thing or another, I ask that you would rekindle this hope, rekindle this faith deep inside of believers here today. God, use us as a congregation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Stand with me for our closing hymn.